Vanya.
Mike.
We are bi-coastal again. I'm sort of sad to not be right there with you, but
I know.
But this is how we've done it for, we did it for a year. We can do it again. It's going to be great.
We can do it. We have no problem.
I shouldn't even say this because I'm going to edit it so you can't really tell, but I am kind of still eating my food. So I apologize for any chewing noises.
No, eating, Mike. Well, I have already lived two lives and death and another life. I volunteered at my child's school this morning.
Oh, tell me all about it.
Actually, it's really great. I get to cut up things and stuff folders and make copies, and you know, getting into the school is just amazing because I haven't really been in there since she started going because they didn't allow people.
Right.
And guess what, Mike? On the 12th, actually it'll be the 14th. The 12th is, I think, a Saturday. The 14th, Monday, March 14th, they are lifting masks in schools here in our state of California.
So how do you feel about that?
Honestly, I feel fine. I feel fine about it. You know, and it's whether they're vaccinated or unvaccinated. I'm going to let Amelia decide. I'm going to let my daughter decide if she wants to wear it. She knows what the pandemic is. She has her own feelings. At this point, like I said, she's vaccinated. You know, we are as well. My son is not, but I don't know. I'm just going to let go and let God at this point, because I really do think we actually had it earlier in December, but didn't know. But I don't know. I don't know. So
yeah, it's tough. They're lifting a lot of that here in New York too, and I'm sort of two minds about it. That I do sort of feel like at this point, I don't know. See, it's hard to say if you're not vaccinated, because I do think about like little kids that can't get vaccinated.
Yeah.
And I think about others that, you know, I guess my feeling on it is I never didn't wear a mask at work. And by never, I mean in the last 2 years, obviously. Like,
right.
Even when things were basically better last summer and early fall, I still wore a mask at my job just because, for two reasons. One, I don't care that, like, it doesn't bother me that much.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Not, yeah, like, I can still talk fine. I can still breathe fine. So for me, it was just like, just keep it on. Also, I don't know, I can make rude faces behind my mask and no one knows.
Yeah, I think it's much easier for kids or for an adult to keep. Honestly, I'm comfortable with it. And especially when it's cold out, I really like it.
Yeah,
but
seriously.
How we talked about last week about, you know, just whenever riding mass transit, I think I'll always wear it because I think it's just will make me feel good because I won't get a cold from the person next to me coughing on me. You know, just those little things that we've learned. And I guess the thing that I'm struggling with in my head, but like trying to just, like I said, have faith is we have to go back eventually to the world. Not completely back, but we have to go to the place where, I mean, this is going to be, we know this is never going to end completely. So what are we going to do? Or am I, you know? So I know it's complicated, and I'm sure a lot of people have different opinions out there. I'm feeling fine.
Yeah.
I'm feeling fine.
I feel like I say this about so many things. I feel very strongly on like different sides of it. That on one hand, I totally agree with you that like we do have to at some point resemble the world that we used to have. And whether that's ever 100%, I guess I don't know. But I mean, I feel a lot of people like probably listened to when Fauci was on The Daily a few weeks back. And like he was even sort of talking about that. Like at some point you do have to sort of weigh the risk versus life versus, you know, like quote unquote normal life. I guess part of my thing is that I just maybe know and or maybe work with some people who are like so desperate to take the mask off that I'm kind of like, I don't know. Like then I almost get like my umbrage about that, where I'm like, why are you so desperate? You know, like, if you're supposed to wear a mask, and like, it's just not that big of a deal.
Yeah,
so I don't know. I'm on all sides of it all at once.
And my thing is, I really think we have to give the kids a chance to have a little bit more normalcy, because it is truly causing mental health issues in our kids. And I hate to be that, but it is a real thing. So when Fauci did say we have to weigh the mental health's important too.
Yeah, I agree.
Especially for little emerging minds. That's where I'm at. I'm ready to protect my kids as much as I can. And like I said, if my daughter's like, you know what, I like wearing it, I'll be like, girl, you wear it every day. You're cool. But she did, you know, I don't know. She's a good kid. So I don't know. We'll see. Also, we've got lots of softball games this week, and I'm ready to hit the ground running with that.
You have so much going on. I don't even know if we like maybe touched on that last week, but you have a lot of ball going on in your household.
We're into the, we've got the fever, man. baseball fever. No, it's fine. We're going from place to place. It's exciting and we're doing things. And I love that the kids can be outside. And my sweet little four-year-old had his first game this weekend. Oh my God, Mike. It was the cutest thing. He was just playing in the dirt for most of it. But he got a hit and he ran. He actually ran to the right base, which is not,
nice.
Can't say that about every other kid. It's just so cute. They're all little and just out there in the field. Oh, I love it. Also, I'm on snacks today. And there's one kid who has a peanut and egg allergy. So I had to go to Sprouts to find some appropriate, snacks. Because I'm like, I don't want to guess. Mm-hmm. You know, what if I killed the kid? That'd be awful. I would never forgive myself.
That's pretty intense.
Never. Sorry, I don't know why that makes me giggle. It's because it makes me nervous. It makes me nervous, so I have to giggle about it. I'm like, oh God.
I am sort of dealing with something that I feel like is adjacent to something that you were dealing with earlier, which is that I'm trying to get my passport renewed.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a little, I mean, it's fine. It's one of those things where people do it all the time, and I've had a passport before, but I don't know if you feel this way sometimes where I'm just like, something's going to go wrong. Like, I've done something wrong.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I didn't make, but my friend Jesse and I kind of like did it together because he also needs his passport. He needs his for later in the year. I need mine for like literally a couple months from now because I'm trying to kind of plan a trip that is hopefully going to go along just fine. But it's very nerve-wracking where I'm like, things have been going on in my life and I haven't really had time and I really haven't been in New York very much. I've been traveling a lot. So I haven't really, it didn't occur to me that like time was passing so quickly. Mm-hmm. So Jesse and I did it together and we went to the post office and like got the pictures taken and all of that. And I'm sure it's fine. Like you write the check. I wrote the check for amount because I'm trying to, I'm trying to like do the expedient.
Good. I was going to say, I hope you expedited it because they're backed up anyway, so.
Yeah, I did that and I did like the 1 to 2 day shipping and I'm sure it's all going to be fine, but you just have that thought of like, I drop it all in this envelope and then I like put it in the mail and I'm like, I hope it all works out. Hoping the best.
I had to send like real birth certificates and I got them back, but it was.
Oh, nice.
It was scurry. It was very scurry.
Yeah, it's a little nerve wracking. So that's sort of where I am right now as far as like in my life, just hoping that like my passport comes through as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's basically it. What's going on? What are you digging this week? Anything in particular?
Yes, this is something from the time we've been apart, Mike.
Oh, nice.
And I am obsessed with it. I'm sad that I could rewatch it, but I'm sad it's over, you know, when you get that feeling.
Uh-huh.
This is a series that was originally a British television, well, it's still a British television sitcom. It was first aired on Channel 4, and it's now available on Peacock, and it is a sitcom series called We Are Lady Parts, and it's created, written, and directed by Nita Manzur, and it's so good. It's so good. Each episode's about 25, maybe 30 minutes long. It's got the rom-com-y, which you know I freaking love the rom-com-y. Anyways, it's an anarchic and irreverent music comedy about a Muslim female punk band called Lady Parts who are on a mission to find a lead guitarist and maybe, just maybe, a proper gig. It's so good. I love music. When I was in high school, I was like kind of obsessed with not necessarily punk, but I loved grunge and I loved heavy metal. I mean, I know it's crazy, but it's wonderful. It's got some strong ass women in it and it makes me happy it's funny, just really wonderful. Watch it.
That's funny. I've heard of it and I as much as I know about it is what you just told me. So very interesting. I'll check it out. Is it like,
it's so good.
Has it been many seasons?
Just one season and they are scheduled for a second season.
All right, cool. Yeah, I actually have two things that I want to talk about, and they're also TV shows. I like they were just encouraging everyone to watch more television.
Yeah, well, that's what we do, right?
That's what we
stream
do.
Just it get up, more baby. Television. Stream it
exactly.
up.
Exactly. Have you watched any of The Gilded Age?
I haven't. It keeps, you know, appearing every time I get onto HBO Max, but no. I'm kind of like, do I really want to live in an old lady world?
Okay, so
maybe.
I totally get that. It's really good. And by that, it's part of it's just like, it's just really, really fun. I don't know if you were a Downton Abbey person.
Yeah.
It's in the vein of that. And it sort of does. So the thing, about it that I guess is the most not problematic is that it does sort of have to live in history. Like, it does take place in like 1885, mm-hmm. like old world New York. So there are issues that you can kind of tell that it's trying to be very progressive with, but it's also having to live in that time period. So there are constraints to it. Like, they definitely, you know, touch upon, you know, equal rights for women and equal rights for, like, Danae Benton plays a character in it who's writing for a black newspaper and sort of dealing with the prejudice that comes along with that. And you can tell that, you know, it's Julian Fellowes, the same person who did Downton Abbey. And you can tell that he's like trying to make things as progressive as possible, but they are constrained by the time period that it takes place in. So there's a little bit of that push and pull, but I'm super enjoying it. The cast is so amazing. And it's literally like it filmed, I actually don't 100% know where it filmed, but it must have filmed very near New York. It takes place in Manhattan, like I said, in the late 1800s. Mm. But it must film, it's literally like, you have a Tony, you have a Tony, you have a Tony. Like, the cast is so Broadway star-studded.
Oh, fun.
Just Celia Keenan-Bolger and Katie Finneran and Deborah Monk and Kelly O'Hara. And, I mean, obviously, like, Cynthia Nixon and Christine Baranski, who both have two Tonys each, are amazing. And they're just so much fun to watch. And I mentioned Danae Benton, and she was in The Great Comet of 1812, I think was what it was. It was a musical that people either loved or hated, and I loved it. I saw it two times.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, it's like a stacked cast. Morgan Spector, who's just like the hottest man on the face of the earth. That's neither here nor there. But just Audra McDonald. I mean, everyone in it is amazing. It's such a great cast. Super, super fun. The other show that I want to touch on really, really quickly kind of couldn't be more different. It takes place now in a elementary school.
Oh,
yeah, Abbott Elementary. I've heard so much about it. It's so funny. It's so smart. I love Quinta Brunson created this show and is the star of it, and at least I think writes the first two episodes.
Yes.
She's so talented. She's so good. The cast also, I mean, speaking of Broadway, Cheryl Lee Ralph is in it, and she's so great. Janelle James plays the principal.
Amazing.
And she's so awful, but so, yeah, she's so funny. And then Lisa Ann Walter, I don't know who this woman is. I don't know if I know her from other things. She plays kind of like the street tough, like dame of a teacher, and she's so funny, so good. Also short. It's like, you know, it's legit network TV comedy. So it's like 22-minute episodes. Super fun. Super easy to watch. I think it's hilarious.
I love it, Mike. I actually found out about it because a guy I used to do improv with, his name's Jordan Temple. He's a writer on the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he was posting and I was like, oh, that looks fun. And so I watched and I'm like, this is a great show. And then my friend Samara also recommended it. She's like, if you need something that's not super dark, that's really fun and funny. And I love it. And I love the principal. I mean, I know she's wrong, so but I love her.
She's so funny. When I say awful, I just mean like she's an, like, clearly the joke of it is that she's not very good at her job, but she's, the actress is so funny. Like, she destroys me. I think it's hilarious.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
So good.
Super, super fun. Anything you in particular you could do without this week?
Yes. Okay. So now I think people are aware that there's the horrible situation right now with Russia and Ukraine. And I'm not even going to actually talk about that. Of course I could do without that. Are you kidding me? War. My daughter came home last Friday asking me if World War III is going to happen and are they going to get us at our house? And I was like, oh, wonderful. And I was like, you know, tried to reassure her as much as I could, but it's scary, you know, and your mind goes there. This is not what I am not digging, actually. I mean, I'm not digging those things too.
Right.
So let me add those to the list. The thing that I could do without, not dig, do without, whatever, is, and again, I'm an educated woman, and I realize I just am a little burnt by religion in my life, you know, just from past. I don't know. I think a lot of people are from certain judgment and things like that. I could do without people scarily. I'll say it that way because some people have done it not being scary, but like just the end of days Book of Revelation memes and things that float around. I just feel like it can frenzy fear. If it's a fear frenzy. And actually, Mike, when I was writing this and making these notes, I was like, you know, I should read some and look back into it and just whatever. But I found this podcast and I'm really, I like started it this early this morning and I was like, oh, I actually kind of like this. It's called, the podcast is called A Relaxing Stroll Through the Book of Revelation. And the guy is actually really funny and smart and I'm enjoying that. So I know that's a weird way to come about it because I was like, because my mom gets a newsletter from her church and it's like, here, when COVID was happening, this is the end of days. But did you know that like, every time a person writes a book or a thing and they revert back to Revelations, it's always like in their lifetime when the world's going to end and all this shit's going to go down. And it never happens that way. Oh my God. But listen, I understand. Have your faith. I am educating myself by listening to this great little podcast called A Relaxing Stroll Through the Book of Revelation. But I don't like it when people are like, well, because you know what it is, Mike? I think people get off on it in a way where they're like, they kind of want it. I think certain people want the end of the world because they want to see their Jesus. Okay. So I'm done. Sorry. Please don't hang me. But I'm like, I could do without fear, fear-mongering. No, thank you.
Well, but there's a reason why basically every cult, like the leader is predicting the end of day. Like there's a power in that. There's a power in saying like, your time is numbered. You must do what I say. And mine is the way. And yeah, it's messed up. I also, and this might sound, but it's just not helpful. Sorry, it's not helpful.
No.
Preparing for awful doesn't make the awful any better. So if it is the end of days, we don't have to talk about it. No. Like, what's the point?
I agree.
Like, what? You're not making it better. You're not being helpful.
I know. I have a friend who posted, and she's very, like, sweet and kind. And the way she posted was actually a little more, like, basically just continue to be kind, you know, and loving. And that's blah, blah, blah. And I appreciate that. But I also am, like, just seeing all the things. I have to stop scrolling because just it's stressing me out. And also, and then I feel guilty about feeling stressed out because there are people who, you know, their homes are gone and they're completely displaced. And so it's been a very heavy, and I've done what I can by donating some money to UNICEF, but I don't know what else to do, you know? It's like, huh. So how about you? What could you do without anything?
Well, yeah, I did want to get into what's happening in Ukraine, and it feels almost wrong to say what's happened. Like, Ukraine is under attack. Like, they're in a war, an unprovoked war with Russia. And it's to say that it's terrifying feels too small. It's heartbreaking also. And it just feels devastating. And it's so far away, but it feels, you know, the world feels so small these mm-hmm. days that it does feel like what's happening on the other side of the world does affect us. And it does matter. And I was having a conversation with someone about like whether or not U.S. troops should ever get involved. And I'm not saying at this point that they should, though I think that there is a certain amount. I was reading some about people who are volunteering to go help and fight. And I'm so moved by that and by neighboring countries that are trying to help. It matters. Mm-hmm. It matters what happens on the other side of the earth. And it gets so complicated because they are not the only country under attack right now. I mean, there are countries in Africa and the Middle East that have been dealing with...
Armenia was attacked couple months ago.
You know what I mean? So it does come down to like, I don't know. Like, I don't know where the U.S. is supposed to get involved and where they're not. And I don't think that the U.S. should be world police. And I don't think that U.S. troops should be in every country and fighting every war. But it matters. These things matter. What happens in the world matters. Yeah,
it's complicated, Mike. It's really complicated.
It's very complicated. Yeah. So I'm on the same page with you that I'm not saying that as what I could do without because it just feels too petty. So what I could do without is an actual ridiculous petty story that I want to tell that I'll tell quickly.
Great.
And this actually, you had a preview of it when I was there in LA because I was telling you the story about how certain airline, you can't purchase things on the plane anymore.
Oh, right.
You can't use a card. You have to register a card on their app ahead of time, which I had done because on my flight to you on this particular airline, I had purchased some snacks. So I knew it was set up. I knew it was good to go. So on my flight back on this particular airline, I was I didn't get food at the airport ahead of time. We had a beautiful meal near your home, and then you took me to the airport. But there was a good amount of time in between that and me getting on the plane and then, you know, on my 5-hour flight. So when they came around and I was like, oh, I'm going to get these snacks. And she was like, well, you have to have a card registered. I was like, yes, I did. They didn't have my card on file. Like, they didn't have it registered.
But
she was like, well,
but
I don't see.
You had it before.
Yeah, I know. I told her that. But here's my other thing. I also don't want to be rude. So I don't want to be like, you're wrong. Like, I have this registered. I said to her, I got food on the way here using this. And she was very dismissive, just like, well, you don't, it's not here. I'll check with her. Nope, she doesn't have it either. So we don't have a card for you.
I'd be like, I'm really hungry.
I'm so hungry. Like, and I, like, in the scheme of the world, I get that it's not a huge deal.
It is,
but I'm
Mike.
Like, this is ridiculous. I'm so annoyed. And I'm, it's that thing of like, what are you going to do in the moment where they don't have your card on file? So I guess I'm not going to eat. So I guess I'm going to be hungry. And it is what it, and I sort of mean to like.
Oh, I would have had a panic attack.
I was pretty annoyed. And like, I was probably a tiny bit rude to her. And you know what? It's not her fault. But I was very, very frustrated, and so I don't know. Maybe I'll write a strongly worded letter to this particular airline.
I think you can call them out.
There should be a way. Like, I'm sorry if this is your policy, but you should also be able to take another form of payment. Like, that's, if clearly your system doesn't work, which it's not working, I don't know. Yeah, it was a very aggravating situation. So that's what I could deal with that. I could deal without policies that don't, in the end, make any sense.
And the lesson there is always bring food with you on your plane.
Yeah, I guess. You know what, though? That's a thing. Like, I guess I'll just start buying. Sorry, airline. I guess you don't get my money anymore. Like, I'll just buy food at the airport and bring it on board. Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was very annoyed. So let's talk about a happier thing. You did watch the SAG Awards.
I watched it last night, and it was joyful.
Wasn't it just fun? It was just fun, like, seeing people in a room together. And
yes,
I know
great.
We had the Emmys, and the Emmys were also good. The Oscars we had, and they weren't so good. But this just felt particularly, like, joyful to me.
I loved it. I love that it was actor-centric, you know. Because I love actors and acting, and it was wonderful. I made a couple notes. I was like, Faith Hill yelling at people to get into their seats, and you could see her husband being like, okay now. Because
I really wanted someone to, like, really yell. Like, if I was a presenter, I would have been like, Gaga, get in your seat.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like I really wanted someone to, like, take charge. Yeah, but I did like that.
I know. And then my other highlight would be the Squid Game actress. I sobbed.
Yeah.
I loved her.
That was really, I was really happy for both of them. Because, you know, they were amazing. Like, I was, like, those were great performances. And I did not think that they had a chance. Like, I definitely thought that it was going to go to someone else. I thought that they were pretty strong contenders, but they were so great. So I was so happy. And yeah, her joy was just so clear. And I love that someone was pointing out that, like, the MVPs of that award show were translators. Like, so many categories had to have it. And hers, and it was the same translator for him and for her.
Yeah.
But she talked for a really long time without letting the translator say anything.
I know.
And it made me a little bit nervous. Yeah.
Because you could see the translator focusing and looking at her, and she's like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I got that, too.
It
was beautiful, and the speeches were so great, and I was so happy for Troy Kotsur as well, I think I'm saying his name right, who is the deaf actor who won for Coda. And
oh, that was a wonderful moment. Oh, I have to watch that now.
Such a, like, great way to start it. Oh, it's a really, it's a lovely film. I cannot believe.
Are you going to shit on deaf people right now?
I'm not.
Mike.
And that's how Mike Jensen goes down in flames.
Canceled.
I was a little bit surprised at their win. I'm not saying it wasn't deserved. I was just surprised. Because you had, like, Meryl Streep and Cate Blanchett and Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence. Like,
I mean, that's true.
That's a crazy cast, but I was still very happy for them. I thought that Helen Mirren's entire speech was wonderful.
I wrote down, am I going to try to watch every Helen Mirren movie ever?
I had that same thought.
Because there was, like, a montage of every single thing she'd done, and they look incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of the things I haven't seen.
Some of the things I don't even know what half of them were. Also, I just know Helen Mirren as, like, the queen and after. Like, I'm almost not.
Yeah.
Like, I know that she did Prime Suspect, I think was, like, the big television. It was like sort of limited series after limited series that was done, and I've never seen any of that. So yeah, I did have that kind of thought of like, do I need to watch all of her stuff? Also, just her like, be on time and don't be an ass. Like,
yeah,
that's great advice just in general.
And wasn't it her that she said, actors, you are a magnificent tribe?
Yeah,
I like that. I really like that. And I cried.
And sort of describing how, like, acting is the oldest profession that sometimes feels like the other oldest profession.
Yeah, that's true.
And then Michael Keaton, like, I was really happy for his win, and I was really nervous that he wasn't in the room, and then his speech was so, ended with such, like, heartbreak.
Do you know what they were talking about?
Yeah, it was his nephew died of an accidental overdose, and so he was dedicating it to his nephew and the nephew, his sister, I'm assuming, the nephew's mother was who he dedicated to it. But it was a really beautiful speech, and I was, you know, I've said this before that I'm so torn on Best Actress, but I was really happy for Jessica Chastain.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And she just seems like I want to be her friend.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if we can hook that up somehow, but I'd like to hang out with her. She seems like a lot of fun.
She does. I agree, though. It was a great show. I felt so just joyful. Oh, Jean Smart. Her outfit was amazing.
Yeah,
I mean, besides her just having a wonderful speech, she looked fantastic.
She did. I love that. All that like detail around the neckline that she had going on.
So good.
Oh, Lady Gaga. I mean, I guess it goes without saying, but holy schnapps. Her dress was amazing. Like, I was obsessed with her makeup, her hair. I couldn't stop staring at her hair.
She looked cool.
I'm like, your hair is so, I don't even know if it was really her hair. It probably wasn't. But like, it was so like blonde and perfect. And oh my gosh. Yeah. I was blown away by her.
Kate Blanchett's dress. I was a little bit, I think it did an optical illusion, but I was like, are you eating enough? Are you okay? She looked really skinny the way
I'm going to say that I had that thought. I had that thought of like, there are some really skinny people.
Yeah.
In this, you know, and I get it that you're acting, and that's, you know, a lot of actors kind of like ride that fine line of being a little, I don't know if you, I mean, I'm sure that you've seen many actors in real life where you go, oh, wow, you are that thin.
Yeah. Like, there's skin. I am a monster compared sometimes. To you. Yeah.
I definitely have that thought of like, I would just look like the giant that's coming to like murder you.
Oh my god.
But it was fun. It was a really, really fun night. It definitely got me excited for the Academy Awards that I'm super looking forward to. I'm also like a little like his character is I'm not attracted to his character of Cousin Greg, but Nicholas Braun, who opened the show with his story of being an actor.
Yeah.
I just find it, I think he's just kind of adorable.
I think he's adorable. Him. Absolutely. Yeah. And I thought the Hamilton boys, their little bit was so cute.
I thought it was funny, too. Someone was complaining that they didn't perform. And I'm like, well, it's the SAG Awards. There's never like a performance at the SAG Awards. Like, they just did an opening and a closing. Like, oh.
Yeah, for sure.
We don't have to complain about everything. Like, you know, let's pick the things to complain about. Let's just enjoy. Can't we just enjoy the SAG Awards? It's a bunch of people in a room having fun.
I know.
Isn't that enough right now?
And they got to eat, too, Mike. Sorry. Not to.
I get. There's a lot of veggies on a plate. It looked good, but I was like, what? That's okay. All right. Where's my burger? anything random?
Well, I did just think of something, and it's like maybe a hack that people know, but one of the best kinds of foods to bring on a plane is pizza from the night before, and you just put it in the fridge in a little Ziploc and pop it in your bag when you're leaving, and everybody loves cold pizza, and it's right there.
Nice.
In a little Ziploc.
That's interesting. I should have done that. We made pizzas when I was at your place, and I ate them all the night before I left.
We did homemade pizza, guys.
I should have saved one.
Oof, I got the hat.
It was really good. It was fun.
How about you?
My random thing is so random, and it's just because when I was home, my sister got me this teeth whitening gel, and I haven't used it because I have to, like, I got these like teeth trays that you have to like put in hot water and then like mold them to your teeth. And I'm so, it feels very getting my passport, like I'm going to do something wrong. But that's it. I'm saying it. I'm putting it out there in the universe because I'm going to do it today.
Awesome.
And then I'll let you know if I accidentally destroy them and or my teeth.
Great. Because no more tooth fragments coming out of your head.
Something's happening. Something's happening in the back of my mouth. Okay. I don't know what it is. I should probably see a professional, but that would, you know, involve seeing a professional. So we'll see. I'll let you know. All right, we gotta get you got places to go, so we're gonna wrap this up, but it's been fun doing this even back on our separate coasts, and I love you.
I always
love our talks.
Yes.
And thanks to everyone for listening.
Yep. Bye, guys.
Goodbye. Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex and the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya, alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores, and email us at MikeandVanyaCan'tNot@gmail. We're also on Twitter. Why? No one knows. But you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We'll be back next week. I'm so sorry. I don't mean to call you out. Are you drinking Liquid Death right now?
I am. Do you know what that is?
Oh, it's water.
Yeah, it's water.
Yep,
the marketing is ridiculous. This is so stupid. I know I was drinking it in my first meeting at like 9 a.m. this morning, and I had to put the commercial in the chat so people knew I wasn't actually drinking beer.